From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Kids and parents are starting to prepare for the back-to-school rush and the dreaded question of which teacher they'll be assigned. It's no secret, teachers, like other professionals, are a mixed bag, some good, some bad. President Bush's No Child Left Behind Act, signed into law in 2002, tried to end disparity in quality education, among other edicts. It gave states 4 years to fill every classroom with highly qualified teachers. The law also mandates that poor and minority students have equal access to quality instructors. But so far, not one state has fully met those standards. The Department of Education recently extended its initial deadline. I spoke with Michael Rebell, a professor at Columbia University's Teacher College and executive director of the Campaign for Educational Equity. He says the problem is more than states' non-compliance with federal standards. It's the standards themselves.
What No Child Left Behind calls highly qualified really is minimally qualified. Now, it's better to have somebody who can read and write than somebody who's illiterate. But you're not getting a guarantee of much more than that reading, writing, and knowing something about the subject area. For these kids to really get the quality teaching that they need, let alone high quality, you need really highly trained teachers who are committed to their job and have the tools to do the job well. And this law is not accomplishing that, and it doesn't even try to. It's looking for minimal qualifications. So in that way, I think it's really a hype job, and it's misleading people. Even if we got 100% compliance, they would not really be qualified teachers, and I don't think they're going to help most of the poor and minority students who need an awful lot of help to overcome a lot of deficits in their educational background.
How do we address this for critics who simply say that this is an economic problem, that poor communities will receive poor teachers no matter what we do?
Well, that's a very pessimistic view, and quite frankly, I think 50 years after Brown versus Board of Education, it's not a view that, from a constitutional point of view, people in this country can hold. And fortunately, it's not the policy of either our state governments or our federal government. The best thing about No Child Left Behind is it's an absolute commitment of the national government that all children, and that's all children, that means these poor and minority children we're talking about, must be proficient in rigorous state standards by 2014. And there have been great strides in minority communities. There have been a lot of examples that show it can be done. And that means we need a really major, almost a revolution in the way our schools are operated and in what they can do, not only to attract quality teachers. The bigger problem, quite frankly, is retaining them, because In the big cities in this country, the dropout rate among teachers after 3 or 4 years is about 50%. The problem then is you probably need somewhat higher salaries, you need better training in the teacher training institutions, but what turns the really qualified teachers off is not so much the salary issues, it's the working conditions that not only teachers but students are now putting up with in many of our ghetto schools.
That being said, the other side of that coin is that we can't keep the rhetoric up. As you say, this is not something that's happened overnight, yet these people who live in these conditions, who have to go to school in these conditions, who generationally have seen their children go to school in these conditions, tire of the idea that we're fixing this problem.
Well, I understand that, and the frustration is there, and there's good reason for that frustration. You know, I was given this example of where 50 years or more past Brown versus Board of Education, it's a hell of a long time for poor people to wait, and it's 4 generations of high school students. So that's outrageous, and it's intolerable. So I'm not telling people we're going to wait another 50 years. The national government's made that commitment. They've been serious about it. Now they've got to continue to follow through if we're going to really deal with the quality teaching problem and, in fact, the whole problem of trying to overcome that achievement gap.
Final question for you, Mr. Rebell, and that is, I guess, the age-old question of who determines what quality is beyond certification and beyond test scores for teachers. There are those teachers who, as you know, and unions who have fought the whole idea of who determines what quality is. Do you see that as a problem that is going to continue to hinder fixing this issue?
There is some justification for the teacher union concern that what some people call quality means arbitrary decision-making that has a an unfair effect on their teachers. But you know, at some point, they're going to have faith, and we're going to have faith that the systems can come up with true quality measures that are fair to the teachers and, most importantly, fair to the students. And the direction for the future is what's known as value-added assessments, which means looking through precise statistical measures and test scores of the same kids from year to year. Teachers tend not to like that because they think they're being held accountable to unfair standardized tests and all. Mm-hmm. So we've got to get the tests right. I mean, the teachers have a true concern there. But it is the direction that makes sense, and we've got to iron out that value-added measurement system. And then we'll be able to hone in on which teachers are really performing and which aren't.
And let me ask you about alternative credentialing programs, stopgap measures, if you will, like Teach for America. We're seeing these as a means of emergency measures to credential people to allow them to teach in inner-city schools with what many would consider very little training. Do you think that this hurts or helps more?
Well, I don't think you can say that something like Teach America hurts. I mean, they've managed to get the best and the brightest of graduates of our top colleges to be willing to go in and deal with the difficult schools for 2 or 3 years. I'm a little more concerned about some of the alternate certification methods that New York City and L.A. and some other cities are using, where on a permanent basis, they bring in people with so-called life experience, and sometimes that life experience is really valuable. But they do it on the rush track, and they don't have the continuing backup sometimes that Teach America and other programs have. So it is an area of concern.
Michael Rebell, thank you so much.
My pleasure.